As she watched the workers, the men outside could be seen through the curtains, thin muslin. "Good morning." She smiled at us and resumed following their vague figures. "There's tea for you on the table," she murmured distractedly. "This is Jane." Fairfax leaned over and kissed her cheek. "It was she who suggested asking you to come here." There were two seats set aside for us as we sat down. I took the two cups and gave one to Holmes, who promptly returned it back to the table. He then knocked off his hat and began fiddling with the tassel. "I was curious as to why you wanted my services." "Of course, this wasn't a holiday." Holmes had found himself another case. The man was never going to relax. "I have a permit to dig at the Valley of the Kings," Fairfax began. "A windfall. This would most likely be where the pharaohs were buried. However, other digs in the area are being sabotaged." "How so?" I asked, once I had finished my tea. Holmes' attention was on the fez, but I knew that he was focused entirely on the conversation. "I know these fellows. They wouldn't use fakes, yet fake artifacts are appearing amongst genuine items. It's ruining the men's reputations, and all of their other finds are being questioned. I do not want that happening to me. I want Holmes to find whoever's doing this."
"Would not the most obvious conclusion be that these men planted the fakes?" Holmes queried.
"No, I don't believe it. There's a saboteur."
"Very well, Mr. Fairfax, I'll make certain that nothing spoils the legitimacy of your work."
It was then that one of the workers started shouting. The foreman, a tall, hulking man, the complete opposite of Fairfax, entered the team.
"We found something, madam, sir."
The workers knelt around a hole in the ground. When the foreman approached, they scattered to reveal a passage leading further inwards. Fairfax rubbed his hands in anticipation.
"You're my good luck charm, Holmes. This could be the tomb of an undiscovered pharaoh."
"Yes, how wonderful." Holmes did not sound so cheerful. I carefully watched him as Fairfax and Jane led us down to the stone wall that kept us from seeing what was inside.
"Amon, have one of the workers knock this down. We're eager to see its contents,"
Fairfax ordered. Amun, the foreman, clapped his hands and told one of the men in the language what they should bring. The man soon returned. He carried a sledgehammer and dragged it behind him. We stood aside and waited as he hauled it up with surprisingly strong hands and watched him break down the wall. "Lanterns!" Fairfax shouted, and lit lanterns were brought down to us. He stepped over the debris and hurried into the tunnel without waiting for us. Holmes was the next person to enter, and Jane hoisted up her skirt, though not enough to reveal her ankles, so that she too could climb over the shattered stone.
"I was not the last person to follow them. The Egyptian man who carried the sledgehammer was close behind me." The man kept his head bowed as though he did not want anyone to see his face. And I could hear him quietly whisper to himself. The words were fast, frantic, and repetitive, like a prayer. If I was not already unnerved by having to walk through a cramped, almost dark tunnel, then I certainly was then. I could see Holmes running his fingers along the tunnel wall. I wondered what he was doing, feeling to see if anyone had been here before us. Another stone wall lay in our path. We pressed our backs to the walls to allow the worker to squeeze past and destroy it. The air tasted stale, and there was a faint, almost sweet smell. It must have been Mrs. Fairfax's perfume. It now smelt too strong, as we were no longer in an open space. I heard her gasp as she went inside, and it was soon my turn to gape in amazement. There were hieroglyphics drawn on the roof of the tomb. Eyes and flat figures of men and women stared back at me. Papyrus scrolls were stacked atop of one another in an imitation of a pyramid. I saw another jar with a dog's head topper. The tomb wasn't awash with relics.